a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there lay I, though vileless, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vileless, wash all my sins away.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Sherry. That was beautiful. Good morning. And welcome to worship here at Calvary. If you happen to be a first-time worshiper with us this morning, an especially warm welcome to you. We are so glad you are here. And as you arrive today, if you're a first-time worshiper, there was this little envelope that you received. We'd love for you to fill that out. Don't feel like you need to put anything in it as a visitor this morning, but just fill it out, drop it in the offering plate. That's how we get connected with folks, and we would absolutely love to get connected with you. We are in the midst of a fall worship series here at Calvary, and that worship series is called The Almost Christian Things We Say. And we're going to continue that worship service this week in a very unique way. In the life of our church for the last 1,200 years, the life of the greater church, the church has set aside 1 week to remember those people in our lives who have passed. And that is called All Saints. There's a day, All Saints Day. And it's on that day that we remember those people who have gone before us. And so today, our service is a little unique. It's a little different than usual because today we pause to remember those people in our lives who have passed. And we're going to talk a little bit as we continue this worship theme about some of those things that we say in times of loss. And we're going to reflect on how Jesus, in a story where Jesus loses a loved one, how Jesus responds in the midst of loss. And so today's service is a little different than usual as we pause to take time to remember those saints in our lives. Just one other announcement before we dive into worship today. Next week, we begin a series of congregational forums. For about 2 years now, we've been having some conversation. There have been teams that have been working to explore our building, our grounds, and to wonder about a possible expansion and remodel of our church building. And we're taking one more step in that process. The team that's been working on that has become kind of fond of a phrase, and it goes like this. We are one church with many different expressions. We're one church, but we're filled with many expressions. We're filled with people that worship in different ways, that get connected in different ways, that serve our community in different ways. And as we go through these next few weeks to receive feedback from the congregation, we want all those expressions represented. And so if you look in your bulletin, on November 10th, November 11th, November 14th, and November 18th, there are four different forums where we invite you to come and see another draft of the plans as we've listened to the congregation and put together a new draft of those plans, but also give feedback as to your thoughts. We want to hear all those expressions represented. There's also a open house on November 14th. If you want to sit down with a member of the team during that time and talk a little bit more in depth about where things are headed, we'd love to do that as well. All right. I think that's it for announcements. Going to invite you at this time to please stand, greet your neighbor with your name, a handshake, a sign of God's peace, God's love. Thank you. We gather together in the name in which we live, the name in which we baptize, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you may be seated. Today, during our services, we remember those saints in our lives, those people who have gone before us. We remember that what makes those loved ones who have passed in our lives saints isn't the perfection of their lives or them attaining some level of sainthood, but it's simply the fact that they are loved by us and they are loved by God. And so during our service today, we're going to read the names of those who have gone before us here in our family of faith here at Calvary in the last year. And then following communion today, you're going to be invited to light a candle yourself as you come forward in memory of a loved one, a saint in your own life. And so as we begin today, we remember God's promise, a promise that starts in our baptism, and we have some words above. I will read the words in white, and if you would read those bolded words in yellow. Oh God, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You are acquainted with all my ways. You lay your hand upon me. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the furthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. And together, in baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are reborn children of God and made members of the church, the body of Christ. Living with Christ and in the communion of saints, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. Thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. For I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When I walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. And together we pray. God of all grace, we give you thanks because by his death, our Savior, Jesus Christ, destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all. Make us certain that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we're going to read the names of those members of our Calvary family who have passed over this last year. We'll read three names, and then together as a congregation, we'll sing together, You Are Mine. Let's start by singing that through one time.
Roger Cook, Russell Henningsgaard, Dale Dvorak,
come and follow me.
Silas McCormack, Carol Lindblom, Douglas Hoskin. Anderson, Maurice Williams, Earl Berglund. Ellis, Carl Butch Anderson. Darlene Lucas, Majel Danielson, Donald Scrovey.
Please join me now in our prayer of the day. It's printed in your bulletin. God of mercy, we give thanks today for those loved ones who have gone before us, and we are reminded that what makes them saints is not the flawlessness of their lives or perfection of their faith, but the role they played in our lives and the fact that they are your children. Remind us, God, that you weep with us in our lives. Amen. At this time, we hear our psalm.
A very special psalm today. We'll read it responsibly. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
At this time, I'm going to invite the youngsters to come forward for a special message, and as they come forward, we'll all sing.
Thank you.
Good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing today?
Good.
Awesome. You guys all look so great. Did you recover from Halloween? Yeah? Anybody have too much candy? Come on, don't lie. You're in church. Right. Well, hey, today's kind of a unique service here at the church. Do you see any candles around us?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of candles today. And it's kind of a unique service because in some ways we could say it's kind of a sad service. Do you ever get sad? Do you ever get sad? What kind of things make you sad? Can you think of something that makes you sad? Anything that makes you sad? What?
When me and my sister fight.
When you and your sister fight. I'm sure that's very rare. Right? Right? Well, what else makes you sad? Oh, the last series of Big Bang. I was thinking the same thing. Wow. Deeply spiritual issues going on in the lives of our young people. What else? Do other things, anything else make you sad? Anything else make you sad? Well, today we're talking about something that makes me sad, and that's talking about when people that we love die. Because in our lives, we have these people that we love, and sometimes they pass away. And maybe you've had a pet that has passed away, or maybe you've had a grandma or a grandpa, and you've gone to a funeral. Well, today, we are here at the church creating space where we can kind of be sad and remember some people that we love. And you know, sometimes we don't like to be sad. And in fact, we're always trying to cheer each other up. But did you know something? In the Bible, we're going to hear a story about how Jesus lost a really close friend. His name was Lazarus. Would you say Lazarus?
Lazarus.
And it's really interesting when Jesus loses a friend. Do you know what? The Bible says he was sad. It even says that he cried. Do you ever cry? Do you ever cry? Yeah. I'm with you. I cry too. Sometimes when you get to be an adult, adults kind of think that you shouldn't cry anymore. But I think you kids are smarter than some of these adults because you know sometimes it's okay to cry. It's okay to be sad. And we have a God who in Jesus even cried. And so today is a day that's kind of different. You might see a few people when they come up and light candles in a little bit. You might see them tear up a little bit. And we do that because when people we love leave us, we should be sad, right? We should be sad. And we have a God who in Jesus also got sad when he lost someone he loved. So today is a little different. And when you come forward with your mom and dad, maybe they'll help you light a candle in memory of someone who has died in your life. And so we remember that today. All right? I'm so thankful for all of you. Yeah. And I've got some suckers here. Who wants to help me blow out my candle? There we go. That was easy. Congregation, let's sing as these kids grab a sucker. As we've said, today is All Saints Day, and it's a day, one day set aside where we pause to remember those loved ones in our lives. It's a little different service. So if you're someone visiting today, this is a unique service where we offer the opportunity for us to just create space to remember those loved ones in our lives who have gone before us. We also today continue, as I started the service, with a series called The Almost Christian Things We Say. And Pastor Nathan last weekend, he kicked off the service by talking about one of those phrases we often hear or sometimes we say. And it was one of those phrases that goes like this: God helps those who help themselves. And I don't know about you, but every time I hear that phrase, it leaves a little sour taste in my mouth, because the God I read about in the Bible doesn't work that way. And Pastor Nathan talked about how Martin Luther, the gentleman who our church, our denomination is named after way back in the 1500s, he talked about how a thing called the theology of the cross, where we understand that God meets us not in our achievements, but in our weakness and in our struggles. That God is that one who we talk about when Jesus said, the first will be last and the last will be first. That God doesn't work in such a way that those who work hardest, those who achieve the most, are the ones who get the most attention. You see, we read about a Jesus who spent time with the lost, the hungry, the sick. And so God helps those who help themselves is absolutely the opposite understanding of the God that you and I know. Well, today we thought it would be good, since we're remembering those saints, to think a little bit about the phrases that you and I use at times when those we care about have lost loved ones. Have you ever paused for a moment to think about those things we say, maybe when we go to a funeral or we go to the home of a loved one who has lost someone? Words that are intended to bring comfort. Have you thought about those phrases we use? We're going to talk a little bit about those. We've got some on the screen here. The first one is this: he's in a better place. And there are different versions of that we say. Sometimes we get a little goofy with this. If John, who passed away, was an avid deer hunter, we say, "Oh, John is in that great forest in the sky where every deer is a 30-point buck." Or if Bill liked to fish, we say, "He's on that lake in the sky where every walleye's a 30-plus incher," right? Or if Gertrude liked to square dance, we say, "Gertrude's on that dance floor where the music never ends." He, she's in a better place. We say this, don't we? There are some other things that we say at times of loss. We say, "At least she's no longer suffering." Or we say it in different ways. We say, as we stand there at the casket, we say, "Oh, she looks so peaceful now." There are other things we say. There are other phrases. We say, "He lived a good life. He was a good man." We say other things. We say, "It was her time." When bringing comfort to the bereaved, we say things like, "I know you how you feel, and it will get better. You will get past this." Or even sometimes put the onus for the loss on God. We say things like, "We don't understand this, but it's all part of God's plan." Have you ever thought about the things that we say when loved ones have lost people they care about? When I was a little boy, some of you know my story, that when I was 10 years old, I lost my mother. She acquired a staph infection that took her life actually quite quickly. And I'll never forget how at the funeral, there was a woman who came up to me and she put her arms on my little 10-year-old shoulders and she looked at me and she said these words. She said, "Hans, you're not gonna understand this, but God knew your mother and God needed another angel." Anyone heard that phrase before? And I remember thinking, that's just weird. I mean, that's just weird. I mean, what kind of a God is about the business of snatching up mothers from 10-year-old boys? I mean, what kind of an understanding of God is that? That for some reason, God needed my mother more than I did, this little 10-year-old boy. Think about that. And that thought led to this deal that if God really needed another angel. And God was the kind of God that snatched up mothers from little boys. Well, then I don't know if I want anything to do with that sort of God. Because that's a really cruel God. See, folks, have you ever thought about the things that we say at times of loss? Those phrases that sort of roll off our tongue, but they leave a bit of a sour taste in our mouth. And I wonder why it is that we say those things. They all are meant to sort of push us in a direction. Is it because we want to make sense out of something that just doesn't make sense? Is it that we want to somehow fix the situation because we Midwesterners are fixers? We want to fix it. Is it that we want to push them beyond sort of this pain? Is it that we want to somehow make something out of this painful situation? Or is it that as people, we have a hard time with sadness? Have you thought about this? Is it that we just, as people, we have a hard time being sad? I mean, we all have been in those situations where we've been around someone who's really sad. And I don't know about you, but often it feels sort of uncomfortable. We don't know what to do with it. From an early age where we learn that from watching our parents and our grandparents that if you cry in public, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to apologize. We say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have welled up. I shouldn't have teared up like that. You see, it seems to me that we say things like, he's in a better place, or it's all part of God's plan, or at least he's no longer suffering, to avoid sadness, to avoid grief. About 2 months ago, a good friend of Katie's and mine, a woman by the name of Stephanie, she was 42 years old, and she died unexpectedly. She was the mother of 3 kids, all under the age of 6. She was an incredible pastor, an incredible leader, just the most gifted woman you could imagine. And she died unexpectedly of complications from a stroke at 42 years old, and she left her husband to fend for these 3 kids, to care for these 3 young kids. And I remember thinking, this isn't fair. I was mad. I remember going to the visitation the night before the funeral, and there were hundreds of people at this little church. And we waited for almost an hour to speak with her husband, Paul. And I remember standing in front of Paul after waiting for this hour. I remember looking at him and having absolutely no idea what to say. The words just didn't come. There were all kinds of things I thought maybe I should say, but they all seemed rather trite. And I looked at Paul, and he looked at us, and I just cried. I put my arms around him, and I said, Paul, I'm sorry. We love you. And then I walked away, and I remember thinking to myself, you idiot! How stupid are you? You get paid the big bucks to know what to say at times like this. But everything I wanted to say or thought I should say just seemed so trite. And so I said nothing. We have a story today where Jesus is going to encounter Mary, Martha, and a guy named Lazarus. They are brothers and sisters, and Lazarus is going to get sick and he's going to pass away in this story. And I love this story for 2 reasons. Number one, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, she gets ticked at God. She gets mad. She says, Jesus, if you had been there, my brother wouldn't have died. I don't know about you, but I sometimes get ticked at God. So I love this story. The other thing I love about this story is to listen very carefully for how Jesus responds to the death of Lazarus. I want you to listen carefully for that. So we're going to read the story here. It goes like this. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. I don't know why he did that. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." And now between the time that he heard word and he arrived in Judea where Lazarus and his sisters were, Lazarus passes away. And when he finally gets there to Judea, Mary lets him have it. It says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother, he would not have died." And now you would have thought that Jesus would have then given some eloquent words. He would have said just the right thing to give them hope, to give them peace, to give them reassurance. You would have thought Jesus would have had the sermon ready. Listen to how Jesus responds. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, help me here, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he said. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And get this. Jesus wept. Jesus didn't say anything. It says Jesus wept. You see, for Jesus, sadness was okay. You see, as we remember these saints today, as you're going to be invited to come forward and light a candle, it seems to me that it's important that we understand that Jesus wept. Because I'm going to imagine as you come forward, maybe there'll be a tear that'll well up in your eye. Every year when we do this, occasionally I get somebody who will say, "Pastor, why do we do this? It's such a downer of a Sunday. It's just so doggone sad." Well, here's why we do it. Because we have a God who knows that each and every one of us have lost somebody. And that creates a hole in our heart, and Jesus knows the sadness we experience. And we worship a God who isn't afraid of sadness, who's not afraid of our grief. And if we worship a God who's not afraid of sadness and grief, maybe we should be a church that isn't afraid of that sadness and that grief as well. And so I'm going to light a candle today in memory of my mother, who passed some 35 years ago. And you're going to light a candle in memory of your mom or your dad or your grandmother, your grandfather, a friend, maybe even a child who's passed. And as you do, I want you to remember that we have a God who weeps with you, who isn't afraid of your sadness. And then maybe when you go to that next funeral or you have a loved one who's lost somebody, maybe rather than trying to push aside all the sadness, rather than saying he's in a better place or it's all part of God's plan or God needed another angel, maybe you'll just pause for a moment. And instead, just say, "I'm sorry. I have no idea what you're going through. I have no idea what you're going through, but I promise I'm going to be here with you in your sadness." Or maybe you'll enter into their sadness and tell a story about that loved one and tell them that this is why I love your spouse or whoever it is that lost. Or maybe you don't need to say anything. Just embrace them. Tell them you love them. And be present with them in the midst of their sadness. Folks, we have a God who in Jesus wept, who knew sadness. And so as you come forward to light your candle, it's okay to be sad. At funerals, often the spouse of the loved one who has passed away will tear up, of course. And they'll often grab me by the arm and say, "I'm so sorry for crying." And I'll look at them and say, "If you weren't crying, I would worry about you." Because when we love someone and we lose them, we should be sad. Folks, would you pray with me? Gracious God, you know that in this room, there are many who grieve the loss of loved ones. And today might seem like we're shifting gears. It may seem a little strange as we pause today. But God, we remember that when you lost a loved one, you wept. You weren't afraid of sadness. And so God, mold us, shape us, help us to be a community that isn't afraid of sadness. That as we light these candles, you let us be sad. But you also remind us, God, remind us that you are the light. that promise to be there in the midst of whatever darkness we might face. God, we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus, and all God's people said. At this time, we collect our morning offering. As always, a thank you for your generosity that makes it possible for us to do all the things we do here at Calvary. As we collect the offering, we're going to hear from our women's choir here at Calvary. Thank you, voices of praise. Please stand. As we gather together today, we remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus, he took bread, and as he was gathered together with those he was best connected with, his disciples, he took that bread and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then after the meal was finished, he took the cup. And after giving thanks for it also, he blessed it. He gave it to each one of them to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this also in remembrance of me." And together we pray the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. And you may be seated. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace both now and forever. Amen. We remember God's promise to us with the words on the screen. Or maybe not. Maybe not. All right. As you leave this place, wherever it is that you go and whatever it is that you do this week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you God's peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.